Americans love cheese. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, we eat an average 34 pounds of cheese each year. You probably give little thought, though, to how cheese makes its way from Vermont, Wisconsin, or even France to your cracker. Well, some local cheesemongers are trying to make all of us think more about the integrity of the cheese we eat. WBUR's Andrea Shea visited a cheese cave.
About a dozen people looking to learn more about cheese arrive at a specialty food shop in Cambridge for an after-hours class with a provocative name, Brave the Caves. The Cheese Cave manager at Formaggio Kitchen, Christopher Valmos, says these cool underground rooms are common in Europe.
Oftentimes, the cheese shops will have special relationships with their cheesemakers, and they'll send them fresh cheeses with the idea that their shops know how to bring them to kind of perfect maximum fruition. These are relationships that are fomented over years and years and years.
Cheese caves are pretty trendy in this country these days. You'll find them in fine restaurants, hotels, even the supermarket chain Wegmans. But when Vimosa's bosses built the one at Formaggio back in 1996, it was novel. The staff here shares stories about cheese fans clamoring to get inside, including culinary legend and Cambridge resident Julia Child. Vimosa says when Child, who was in her 80s, wasn't able to descend into the subterranean creation on her own, Formaggio's owner stepped in.
The story was he carried her down this mighty flight of stairs in his mighty arms. We have cheese celebrities shuffling through here all the time, giving us the thumbs up. Anyway, watch your head as you're going down the stairs. It can be a little tricky to navigate.
In the basement, we pass shelves loaded with wheels crafted by international and domestic artisans. Vamos and his team watch over their living food products, almost like foster parents. Milk transforms into cheese over time, with help from microbes that create unique flavors and textures.
In this room, which used to be my boss's old office, we keep blue cheeses, stinky cheeses, smelly cheeses, and cheeses that need more moisture and need to be a little bit warmer.
The warm, walk-in closet-sized chamber has a sensitive moisture control system that emulates a mountain cave's humidity. Vamos says each wheel of cheese at Formaggio has a story. There's one made in a World War II French military bunker, and there's Vermont maker Michael Lee's story. Those are Lee's goats. He has about 40 of them at Twig Farm in Cornwall. Lee says he crafts more than 10,000 wheels of cheese a year, and Formaggio sells 20 to 30% of his production.
If you look at cheese as a living food, then it would only make sense that you would want to take care of it. If you think of it as a commodity that is, you know, X number of calories, so much fat, so much sodium, etc., then you're going to treat it a different way entirely.
Then Lee recalls a horror story when his sister came across some cheese he made and shipped to a shop in Salt Lake City.
She took a picture and was like, oh my God, what happened to that cheese? You know, it had suffered temperature abuse, wrong moisture conditions, too long on the shelf, everything really. it was awful.
But Lee says Formaggio Kitchen's owner and head cheesemonger, Isan Gerdal, treats his product with care, almost like a curator.
I think our biggest motivation is going to the farm or going overseas and tasting a product that's just made by that farmer and getting blown away by the quality, by the complexity, and then seeing the same cheese 3 months later in a store, almost punished.
Punishment can occur during shipping or storage, Gerdal says. He grew up in Turkey eating cheese every day and has been on a 2-decades-long quest to prevent cheese abuse.
So what we wanted to do is find great cheeses, take good care of them, and get them into the end user, the customer upstairs, in the shape they were meant to be eaten.
Gerdal and his team work hard to find their cheeses. He points to a dominant cheese distribution system in Paris where importers choose from a vast catalog. But Gerdal doesn't do that because he managed to infiltrate France's tightly regulated artisan market.
And even our French cheesemonger friends said, good luck. They're not going to deal with you. And I don't know why, but we got really lucky. Now we buy single shepherd, single shepherd, single shepherd, and these cheeses don't go to Paris.
And some don't go to other stores in the U.S. The amount of cheese in Formaggio's glass display case is intimidating. Josh Diaz and his wife came to the Cheese Cave class hoping for some demystification.
It felt like stepping into like something you'd see in Europe, maybe, or, you know, 200 years ago. What did we learn? My gosh, so much. I am now confident about eating the rind. I've always been very skittish about it. I'm like, look, it tastes good, but I don't know if this is right.
That's music to the cheesemonger's ears. And even though Gerdau was inducted into the French Guild de Fromage and named an agricultural chevalier, he says he still has a lot to learn.
We're constantly finding new things, and it's nice to see the new generation, the youngins, coming in and taking over. I don't do much ordering anymore or finding. They're doing it.
Even so, Isan Gerdau still worries that cheese won't get the respect it deserves. But the outlook is good. The USDA says more Americans are eating artisan cheese, and sales of processed cheese are down. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Andrea Shea.
Cheese! Get off me cheese!
Honey, someone's been at me cheese.
It's like no cheese I've ever tasted. No cheese, Gromit.